thank you, Lord, it was for eternity this morning, Lord. Thank you, Lord, you didn't save us for a short time, but you saved us for time and all eternity, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you've done an everlasting work, precious Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, amen. Thank you, Lord. Bless your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, wonderful Savior. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Bless your holy name, Lord. Send the fire in the name of Jesus. Let the fire fall in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Bless your holy name. Amen. Maybe sing the first verse a couple of times over. If God sent his son, they called him Jesus. Praise God. And then after we sing it, just if anybody would like to pray this morning before the pastor comes, just for an opportunity, just to pray or to praise God, we'll give an opportunity to do so after we sing this a couple of times over, and then the pastor's going to come. So we'll just sing the first verse of this one. That's the best verse in the whole song, actually. God sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Praise God. God sent his Son.
By my father, and empty grave.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh, precious name.
Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for building your church. We get some help out there again. Most of all, this morning, Lord, we thank you.
Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Never lose his power. Amen.
Lord, we claim this morning over ourselves, Lord, ourselves. Bless the pastor as he comes this morning, Lord. May you anoint him with the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, that may a word to someone this morning, Lord. Lord, we just lift up our hands this morning and thank you for your
courage. Amen.
Lord, we just praise you. Lord says that if you have a question, praise the Lord. Come this morning, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Amen. Yes, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah.
Each one this morning, and we give you a very warm welcome. Those that's visiting with us, God bless you, brother. God bless you very much, and you're very welcome this morning in the service. Just to say, Brother Brian will be here Wednesday, and Gary and Ruth's been kind. He'll have a barbecue, and if anyone wants to help out, see your sister Ruth, Brother Gary, in any way, just can help out.
Tea, sandwich,
and
barbecue,
but just sandwiches and tea. Well, a cup of tea is good, isn't it? Over here in Ireland, we like the cups of tea. Brother, the first time I had brethren come to the house from Zimbabwe, and my wife made tea, and we asked him, do you want some sugar? And one brother, he kept putting the sugar in, When he finished the tea, there was still sugar in the tea. But boy, they like the sweet tea. And it's good to get a cup of tea, isn't it? It's great to have a cup of tea. Well, the Lord bless you, it's, Brother Gary and Sister Ruth. We appreciate it. So it's 7:30. Brother Gary's is not a service or such, just to get together and give Brian a wee break before Friday. Our meetings start here Friday night, 7:30. Saturday night, 7:30. Then our two normal services on Sunday this incoming week. So pray. Pray for the meetings and pray for Brother Brian and his daughter, Sister Deborah's coming with him. She loves to come to Ireland. When we go to Australia, some of us think the singing there is great. And when Deborah comes here, she thinks they can't sing in Australia. Our singing's great. So it just depends where you are. But as long as we're worshipping the Lord, that's the main thing, isn't it? Praise God. Shake hands with everyone beside you and say, God bless you. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I want to read one scripture from Mark 16, verse 16. And I want to look at this different. And we believe we're living in the last days. We believe God's done something in our generation that will turn our hearts back to the original apostolic faith. The truth and water baptism is one of the things that God has brought back to his people. The Godhead's another one. Original sin's another one. There's four specific doctrinal truths that's been restored back to the true church of God. And for years, they weren't preached. But they're now being preached. Now, you won't hear them in nominal churches, but you will hear them where the true gospel's preached. You will hear these truths. Now, this morning, I just don't want to talk just on the name. There's more to water baptism than just the name. But you have to take the name. You have to take the name. And, you know, we'll see this morning as we go through this. I want to go through it. I'm going to take my time. It'll not be too long. Not be any more than a couple of hours. Just want to see the look on your faces when I said that. God bless you. Let's read Mark 16, verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Let's bow our heads this morning. If you have a need, just lift your hand up before the Lord this morning. God bless you. God bless you. So many needs. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we've been singing about Jesus. And we know that all the power of heaven is in that name. And it's in that name that the gathering of your people shall be. It's not in the name of any creed or denomination, but in the name of Jesus Christ is your chosen place of worship. And Lord, we're worshiping in your name this morning, and you have promised for two or three are gathered together in your name, you will be in the midst to bless us. We thank you for the blessing in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray you'll cover us with your precious blood. Wash us in the blood. Sanctify us and fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost. I do take the Holy Ghost to help me right now. And I thank you that you do. I pray for every hand that's raised in this house, that you'll meet every single need in the name of Jesus Christ. We speak over Brother Brian Freeman this morning, healing and strength upon him in the name of Jesus. For Sister Deborah, healing and strength in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, you were wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon you. And with your stripes, your wounds, we are healed. We bless you for the healing and the provision in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray you will give us the truth, for you are the truth, your words are truth, in the name of Jesus, that we might know the truth and be free. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I want to talk about water baptism. How, when, why? How, when, and why? Some people say, well, the thief from the cross was never baptized in water, so I don't need to get baptized in water. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, you're not the thief from the cross. He had no other choice. That was his last outing. And he went to be with the Lord that very day. But we're going to see from the life of Jesus himself and from the Word of God why we're to be baptized. God's way of salvation is still the same. First, you believe. You're justified by faith. Then you're baptized in Christian baptism. There's three stages to the new birth. There's justification. That's believing in the Lord. There's sanctification, where you clean your life up. Then there's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is the seal of God. Ephesians tells us where you're sealed unto the day of redemption. A lot of people get justified, and that's all they ever do. They never go no further in justification. Now, it's good to be justified. We believe that. But I want you to go on further. I want you to get all God has for you. Amen? And I want you to come into the truth, and you can only come into the real truth when you receive the Holy Spirit. Because when you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive the Spirit of truth. And when you receive the Spirit of truth, He will lead you and guide you into all truth. The Holy Ghost will not deny Himself. So when somebody sees the truth from the Word of God and they deny it, then they can't have the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will not deny the Word of God. He'll amen it. He'll amen the Word of God. Believing in Christ produces an inward change in our heart. We know that. And being baptized in water is an outward act of obedience towards God, by which we testify of the change that has taken place in our hearts. By this act, we make ourselves one with Christ in His burial, in His resurrection. We're separated from the old life of sin and defeat. We come out of the water to lead a new life of righteousness and victory, made possible by God's power in us. Now, we want to look at this morning how, when, and why. Now, what reason did Jesus Himself give for being baptized? And if you look at Matthew 3, verse 15, and Jesus said unto him, this is John, suffer it to be thus, it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. So Jesus wanted to do everything to obey the Father and to fulfill all righteousness. So if somebody says, I don't need to get baptized, they're saying, I don't want to fulfill all righteousness. That's what they're saying. If you want to be like Jesus, I don't want you to be like any other man. Amen. Our desire is to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's one thing. People ridicule William Branham. A lot of people ridicule him. And you go on sites on YouTube and all, they ridicule William Branham. But when you hear the testimony of the men that was with him, their testimony is that it was like being with Jesus himself, because he lived close to the Lord. That's some testimony, isn't it? Would you not want a testimony that people would say you're like the Lord Jesus Christ? Isn't that a wonderful testimony? We don't want to be like the devil or like the world. We want to be like Jesus. Amen. He was like the Lord. That doesn't mean he was the Lord. He was the Lord's servant, but he was like the Lord. He suffered it. Here's another thing. How did the Holy Spirit show he was pleased with the baptism of Jesus? In verse 16 of John 3, when Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. Now, we're going to get to Acts 2 later, and you know Acts 2, 38, ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. Now, here the Lord Jesus, after he comes out of the waters of baptism, the Holy Spirit comes onto him visibly. Visibly. And remember, John the Baptist is the one baptizing the Lord. And John the Baptist was told that on the one you see the Spirit coming and remaining, this is the one. This is the Messiah. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That's what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to baptize us. People don't preach about baptism, but Jesus came to baptize us. No, we don't believe in infant baptism. Infant baptism is a doctrine from the Church of Rome. Yeah. It is absolutely false teaching. The church has taken from circumcision completely out of its context, and yet with all they don't believe in circumcision. So it's all out of context. And what Jesus did with little children, he dedicated them, he blessed them. He never baptized them. And he definitely didn't sprinkle them three times with water in the name of three titles. That is absolutely a popish doctrine from the Church of Rome. And I tell you, we've no time for it. And you know, there's so many things from Rome that's copied today in churches, and people let it go. But you don't have to let it go when you can have the truth. Why would you listen to something that's false? What did God say about the Lord Jesus when he's baptized in verse 17 of Matthew? And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Why was God well pleased with Jesus? Because he obeyed the Father's will. And the Bible tells us that he gives the Holy Spirit to them that obey him. We're to obey the word of God. And when we obey the word of God, we receive the blessings of God. Did Jesus go down into the water? Absolutely. Look at verse 16. And when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. So if he came out of the water, he must have went into the water. And we know he went into the water, right into it. And we're going to look at submersion all later on in the service. Now, if a person wants to be saved, what did Jesus Christ say he should do after believing the gospel? Jesus himself. You know, people think Paul started the gospel or somebody. Jesus preached it first. Then Paul the apostle, the messenger of the first church age, Paul came along and he took it up. And that's why Paul says, "Let no other foundation be laid than that which is laid." Who's the chief cornerstone? Jesus Christ. He said, "This is a stone which was rejected of the builders, but now it's become the head of the corner." Jesus Christ. The whole message must be about him. It's the ministry of Jesus Christ. John 16, verse 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." So you believe and you're baptized. That's part of it. So believing in the Lord, yes, you're saved, but you need to get baptized. You need to do it all. You need to do the whole thing. Praise God. Look also at this here, and this is like a questionnaire this morning, and I've deliberately have it like this because I want you to get all this. What did Jesus tell his disciples to do before baptizing them? Everybody quotes Matthew 28, but they don't quote all of it. They leave out the last part of it. But I'm going to emphasize the last part because I want all of the word of God. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." And then you go down to the next verse. It says, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded them." So you have to teach them. And the people need taught to be saved. You preach salvation. And you must preach baptism. You must preach the word of God. And how many knows Jesus went about preaching and teaching? That's what he did. He preached and he taught. And there's a fivefold ministry in the church today. Pastors, evangelists, teachers, prophets, and apostles, all for the perfection of the saints. We need the full fivefold ministry. He teached them. So he teached them. Now when he teached them, he would explain to them the name of the Father. If I was to ask you this morning, "What is your Father's name?" you wouldn't tell me Father. I would say, "Now, his name's not Father. That's his title. The title is Father, but he has a name. What is his name?" My father's earthly father's name was William, or known as Billy. That was his name. But I would have said to Mom, "Where's Dad or Father?" But I wouldn't address him and say, "Father." If somebody was addressing him, they'd say, "William." That's his name. And the name of the Father is the Lord. And the name of his Son is Jesus. Because the angel said, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus." So when you do it in the name of the Father, that's the Lord, and the Son's Jesus, and we know the Holy Ghost, that's the anointed Christ, the Holy Spirit. Teach them. whom did Jesus Christ send his disciples with a message? In verse 19, he sent them to all nations. This is not just for, oh, will you believe it a certain way? It's for you. It's for everybody. This is the gospel for everybody. Everybody needs to hear this. This news must be preached in the whole world. What did Jesus Christ expect people to do after being baptized? What did he expect them to do in verse 20? Teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. He wants us to observe all things he's commanded us. So when the Lord gives us a commandment, we're to observe it. We're to do it. How many knows that? We're to do it. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. He'll never leave you. Amen? What did Peter tell the people to do before being baptized? Acts 2:38. Peter said in Acts 2:38, repent ye therefore and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. I never forget the day I was standing with a minister, a Methodist minister. He's a good friend of mine. I'm not ridiculing him. If he was here this morning, I'd tell him just to see him. And he wouldn't mind either. I'll tell you that. Sure he wouldn't, brother. He might move in his seat a bit, but that wouldn't matter to me. He said to me, Peter must have made a mistake. That's what the man said to me. He said, Peter must have made a mistake. It's different from Matthew 28. I said, it's absolutely Matthew 28 fulfilled. I says, Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost and a revival broke out. And thousands of souls were saved. Now you're going to tell me he made a mistake? I said, there's one mistake. You made it. Not Peter. And Peter baptized. Peter said, repent ye therefore and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Fulfilling Matthew 28. Fulfilling it. Now the challenge is, and you know, God's prophet many years ago in the 50s and 60s threw out a challenge then. And the challenge stands today. For any man can show one scripture after Jesus went back to heaven. For any person was ever baptized with the disciples in three titles, show it. There's not one scripture. Every single place the disciples baptized in the name of Jesus Christ or the Lord Jesus, fulfilling Matthew 28. How is it that the church world today baptizing titles? And some of them even cross themselves. There's nowhere for the apostles cross themselves. That's a doctrine from the Nicene Council was formed in 325 AD. They forbid the early disciples to baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. They called it Judaizing. You know, even the disciples were forbidden to preach in the name of Jesus. How many knows the book of Acts teaches that? And they whipped them and beat them because they preached in the name of Jesus. And they said, whether it pleased you or not, we're going to please God. We're going to keep on preaching. And they beat them and they done everything to stop them, but it only furthered the work. Because when people's persecuted, God moves. Because God's people get desperate. Peter said you were to repent. How many people did Peter say should be baptized in Acts 2:38? Every one. Every one. So somebody says, oh, but I don't need to be baptized. Well, that's not according to Peter. Peter says everyone needs to be baptized. If you're saying I'm saved, I've believed on the Lord, you need to get baptized. There's no ifs and buts about it. You need to do it. When? Right away, as soon as you can. That's how you need to get baptized. How did the people act who gladly received the word of God in Acts 2:41? When they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them 3,000 souls. That's a revival. They gladly received the word of God. There was joy when they get baptized. Baptizing doesn't make you sad, it makes you glad. Amen. Because you're fulfilling God's word. They were all baptized. And I'll tell you what, they were glad when they heard the word of God. What did the people of Samaria do after they believed Philip's preaching? And you know, when Philip went down to the city of Samaria, what did he preach unto them? Christ. Philip preached Christ. We're only called to preach Christ. We're not called to preach anything else. We're called to preach Christ. And Christ means the anointed one. And Jesus is the anointed one. And Philip preached Christ. And you know what the people did when Philip, after he preached Christ in verse 12 of Acts 8, but when they believed Philip's preaching and the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. They got baptized after they heard Philip preaching Christ. And you know what it says as well? You can read through chapter 8. It says there was great joy in the city. Demons come out of people. Now I know when we are led to believe today there's no such thing as devils, but you better believe there's devils, all right. There's devils all about everywhere. Praise God. What did Philip tell the Ethiopian eunuch he must do before being baptized in Acts 8, verse 37? And you know, the Ethiopian eunuch, when you read Acts 8, he was going along in his chariot. He was reading from the Old Testament about the Lord. And he couldn't understand it. And we know the Spirit said to Philip, join yourself onto this one. Is that right? And he opened from the Old Testament and he preached Christ on them. And the Ethiopian eunuch believed. And here's what it says in Acts 8:37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest, because he wanted to be baptized. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And he took him right down and stopped the chariot. And he took him right down there and then baptized him. He never put him at the back of the assembly for 6 months. But some groups do that. You're not allowed to come around the Lord's table till you've been in attendance for 6 months to a year. They have to see are you worthy or not. Now you see the man that wants to see you, if you're worthy or not, is he worthy? That's the question you'll have to ask. Is he worthy? There's only one that's worthy. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you get him, you get his righteousness. For you have none of your own, but you get his. The imputation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, Romans 4. He took him down, he baptized him. What did the Ethiopian eunuch answer? He says, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That was all that Philip needed to hear, and he baptized him. And he baptized him in the name of Jesus Christ. And then the Spirit caught Philip away. He never got a taxi or a bus to the next place. But he was captured away, miles away. Now you see the church today has forgotten about the supernatural power of God, but it's still real. Because it's Hebrews 13:8, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Did the Ethiopian go down into the water? Look at verse 38 of Acts 8. Everybody remember Acts 3:38, but remember Acts 8:38. So you have Acts 3:38, then remember Acts 8:38. They're easy scriptures to remember, aren't they? And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went both down, both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. Yes. Down into the water. How did the eunuch feel after being baptized? Verse 39 tells you. And when they're come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Amen. He rejoiced as he went on his way, because he got something. He got something. Praise God, he got something. After Cornelius and his friends had been saved and received the Holy Spirit, what did Peter command them to do next? Now you see, that's one thing I want to stress here. Some people think you can't get saved, you get baptized in water. And yet with all, here's a group here that got saved and they weren't baptized in water, but they got baptized. You understand that? So you see, whether you get saved first or get the water first, the important thing is to get saved and get the water baptism anyway. Amen. But there's no power in the water to save you. But the power's in the blood of Jesus Christ that does that. But you're going to the water as a fulfillment of all righteousness. Fulfilling scripture to be like the Lord himself. And Cornelius and his friends had been saved. You know, and what did they do? Look, let's pick it up in Acts 10. The book of Acts is our blueprint. It should be every church's blueprint. Spicy for water baptism. Acts 10, 44 to 48. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. So when did they get the Holy Spirit? When he preached to them. Is this clear? They didn't get it when they were baptized in water. Is that right? They got it before they were baptized in water. Now you could get it before you go to the water, or you could get it in the water. But the one thing is, you want to get it. Amen? But some people say you can't get it if you don't get baptized in water. Well, these fellows got it, and they were not the water. They got it before they went to the water. But they still went to the water. They still obeyed the word of God. Amen. Let's read it again. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word. Verse 45. And they of the circumcision which were believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. You must remember why they were astonished. They thought it would only be to the Jews, but God was giving it to the Gentiles. And if you go back a little bit further, you'll know that Peter's on the rooftop and his sheet falls supernaturally before him with all unclean things on it. Things that the Jew won't eat. And God says to him, take and eat. Peter says, no. I've never taken anything common or unclean. And God says to Peter, don't call what I've cleansed common or unclean. In other words, when somebody's washed the blood of Jesus, they're clean. No matter their hue or cheek, red and yellow, black and white, they're clean in the eyes of the Lord. That's what God's showing Peter. Also that the Holy Spirit's given to these Gentiles. So God's showing that he can give the Holy Spirit to those that obey. No matter who they are. And you don't have to be in an orange lounge or the chapel, no matter which of the two. See, there's no difference in the eyes of God. A Catholic can be saved and receive the Holy Spirit the same as a Protestant or a Hindu. I don't care what do they are. They need to leave the do and come to the Word of God. That's what they need to do. Leave all do's and come to God's Word. Amen. Come and die. God can save anybody. The Bible says in Acts, Joel, Romans, whosoever shall call the name of the Lord shall be saved. And they were in the circumcision believed and were astonished as many as came with Peter, that because that on the Gentiles also is poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now the gift of the Holy Spirit, and I believe this is where a lot of Pentecostals made a mistake. They made the gift just tongues. But it's not. When he talks about the gift of the Holy Spirit, he's talking about eternal life. Acts 2:38, repent ye therefore and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's eternal life. Right. Tongues is one of the nine gifts of the Spirit. I believe in tongues, and I talk to them a lot. And I won't be apologizing for that. But I don't believe divine that tongues is an initial evidence. I know people preach that. I don't believe that. You could prophesy. Right. Amen. What if you operated one of the other gifts? Yes. No, I believe it is our evidence, but not the initial evidence. That's not scriptural in my book. I know many places they spoke in tongues, but there was another place they prophesied. And they had the Holy Spirit as well. But there's one thing that'll make you do something. Is that right? The Holy Spirit, but the main thing is eternal life, the seal of God. If you can't be lost, that's the main point of it. You are sealed when you get the Holy Ghost. You cannot be lost. Isn't that wonderful? That's God's promise from God's word. Verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that he should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as us? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, then prayed to him to tarry certain days. Now there's so many people against tongues. But when you study the Bible, so many times it's spoke in tongues. I believe it the way it was said, that the last church should be like the first church. And the first church was a tongue-talking Holy Ghost church. How many believes that in here this morning? Do you believe that? Amen. And the last church needs to be the same. Amen. What did the Philippian jailer and his family do after believing Paul's message? And you know that Paul was jailed. And they beat him. And God shook the jail. Paul and Silas began to pray at midnight. They were feeling sorry for themselves. They had stripes on their back. They were whipped and beaten. They weren't feeling like doing anything. But something happened and they started praying and singing. Yes, amen. And when they started praying and singing, God shook the jail. And when God shook the jail, all the bars flew open. And the jailer that was watching them was told, you better keep an eye on these boys 24/7. So he drew a sword out to kill himself. And Paul and them could have walked out and went away. They were free, but they didn't. They stayed for the word. And they said, do thyself no harm. And he fell down and he said, what must I do, sirs? And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved in your whole house. Amen. And he believed. And he got baptized. Amen. And his whole house was not, would not be great to get the whole house baptized. Amen. All of them. Let's start claiming them, sons and daughters, a whole lot. That we could baptize every one of them. That should be our prayer and desire, to see every one of them come in. Then he called for a light and sprang in, came trembling. This is the old jailer. And he fell down before Paul and Silas, Acts 16:29, verse 30. And brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no mention of signing a weak card or joining a church. No words have ever mentioned in the Bible. Believe in the Lord. That's simple, isn't it? Believe in the Lord and you're saved. And thou shalt be saved in thy house. Verse 32. And then they spake unto him the word of the Lord unto all that were with his house. Verse 33. And he took them the same hour of the night. Well, it's late now. We'll wait till the next day. No. They acted. We too often are too slow to act. We want to have all arranged. Well, these fellas never waited till all was arranged. They struck the anvil when she was hot. Did you ever hear that old saying?
Amen.
You know when the boy's doing the shoes of the blacksmith and they learn you on anything you're working with steel, there's no point you baiting that steel when the red's out of it. All you'll do is give yourself a sore arm. You need to hit it when it's red hot. Sparks are flying. And when the sparks are flying and she's red hot, the steel's pliable. And God here was moving and the sparks were spiritually flying. And these people were pliable. And they baptized them the same night. They didn't care if it was midnight. They baptized them anyhow. Amen. And washed his stripes and was baptized. They washed Peter's, think of that. He beat the back off him a few hours before it. Imagine having a good fight with a boy. And then the next thing you're baptizing him a few hours later. Well, Paul didn't have a fight with him in the saints, but he beat Paul. But he was converted. And he washed Paul's back. And he was baptized. What did the disciples at Ephesus do after believing Paul's message in Acts 19? Boy, this book of Acts is some book for baptism, isn't it? Verse 4. Then said Paul, John fairly baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which has come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. You see, that's a message that needs to be preached. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?
Amen.
Since you believed. There's a lot of people who believe, but they've never received the Holy Ghost. And here they got John's message, but it wasn't enough. John's message was not an old message. But the Messiah had come. Now they've got the new message. And they must follow the new message. And Jesus said, John said, I must decrease and he must increase. Amen. How many knows that John came in the spirit of Elijah? A fellow rang me one day to question me all about the spirit of Elijah. And he said, you've passed that group and they believe it with the spirit of Elijah. Will you explain it to me? Now I knew he had no interest in it. But I knew at Rock's funeral, this man and another man, and he's a preacher, I knew they had a conversation about me and what I believe. And he wanted to put me all over it again to go back and tell his wee denominational mate. And I had the book, Five Times the Spirit of Elijah, written Malian long, waiting for him, still waiting on him. He never comforted yet. Because I knew he didn't want it. He actually told me lies. But I discerned it right on the phone with him. And I knew what he was doing. And you know that John came in the spirit of Elijah? Because Jesus preached that. Yes. Jesus says if you can receive it, it was John. But then in Matthew 17:11, Jesus says, and Elias shall first come and restore all things. And that wasn't John. But that is a future coming of the spirit of Elijah, which we believe took place today. But people don't want to hear about that. And they say, where do you get it from? Well, yeah, there's where I got it from, Acts. Matthew 17:11. Malachi 4:5-6. Revelation 10:7. The Bible's full of it. And I can preach it from it. I can tell you that. I'm not on that subject this morning. That's just dropping that in as a wee nugget for you. Think about that one. Amen. Look, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, follow me here this morning. Through which two experiences do believers follow Christ when they're baptized? Now we're getting right down to them. Near finished. Romans 6:4. Romans 6:4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. So we're identifying with Christ's burial when we go under the water. That's why sprinkling won't do. To be buried means to be covered. And we must be buried, covered. That's why we go right under the water. When I baptized my dad, and my dad thought I had slipped, but I hadn't slipped. I remember, it was funny looking back on it, it wasn't funny at the time. But I put my dad under the water, and he was a big lump of a man, you know, a long big beard was floating, and I thought, his beard never went right under, so give him an ordeal. I kept Manure dipping under to make sure he was all under. But my dad didn't realize I'd kept Manure dipping. He thought I'd lost him. But I hadn't. And then I brought him out. I had to make sure he's fully covered. And the beard and all went under. And on good hurry hat. Right underneath. And he was baptized. He was buried. And that's where we get it from. We get it from Romans 6:4. Then you have Colossians 2:12. Hear it. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are also risen with him through faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead. So you're identified in his burial and you're identified in his resurrection. So when you come out of the water, you're saying to the world, I'm a new person. I'm a new creature. I'm identified with Jesus. I'm buried with him. I'm raised with him. And you walk in the newness of life, praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I could tell you some stories about water baptism. We went to Donegal once to baptize a sister from Belfast. And George had his pool filled. And I tried to explain to the sister, you know, you need to put your legs in front of you because you go back and you float in the water. I couldn't explain it to the sister, you know, what it's all about. But well, we put her down, the next thing, didn't she crack her head on the back of the tank? And boy, it wasn't good. She was all right, but she didn't get knocked out or nothing. But things can happen. But we don't want that happening. That's why we go to the sea, you have no problems. Plenty of room. Get you out into the ocean, brother. I need to hurry and laugh. I could tell you some more, but I don't, brother. But you know there's a brother Rock knew, brother Gary knew him as well, he's passed on now. You know the brothers away up through Dungannon did the baptism. George, he's passed on, isn't it? George got up one morning and God spoke to him. He said, build a tank. George said, what? He said, build a tank to baptize people in the name of Jesus Christ. Build a tank. And he built a tank right at his house. Rock knew George well and they go on the streets. And George came to our meetings a few times. Can you remember how many baptized, brother? Wasn't it in the thousands?
I'm not sure. Tim Davis's house.
Jim's house.
He's living.
Oh, Jim's still living.
Two sidekicks,
but they built the tank. God told them to build the tank. And people said, sure, who are you going to baptize? Because he didn't. There wasn't a big church around. But he's baptized hundreds in that tank. And we can get that tank anytime. That's right too, brother. Maybe that's a good idea. Praise God. But I like the sea anyhow. You know there's two pictures you could look at in the Old Testament. I'm going to come to close. My time's went. And I'm going to come to close. I could go on further, but I'm not going. It's 20 past 12. Time's gone. And I think I've said enough. You tick the name. You're identified with him as burial and his resurrection. And when you go into the water, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are taking the name. What a name. Now, when you take a name, there's something with it. There's an inheritance with a name. Are you getting this morning? There is an inheritance with a name. Because Jesus Christ said in the book of Hebrews, Paul did, speaking of Christ, he said, a testament is of no effect while the testator liveth. But it becomes into effect after the death of the testator. And Jesus Christ died to make that testament come into effect. And he rose again. And he is the testator that died and raised again from the dead. And when you take his name, there's an effect. It's been sealed with his own blood. And there's power in that name. Power that you have eternal life. Think of that. That you have eternal life. You'll never die. You pass from death to life. Let's stand our feet this morning. Praise God. Now we're going to try and arrange water baptism as soon as we can. Let's just bow our heads this morning. Praise God. And if there's any ones in this room would say, brother, I want baptized. Stick your hand up high to the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. If some people anyway want baptized, and we're going to have a baptismal service. And you know, we Sandra got saved here the other week on the Wednesday. She got saved. And she'd failed the driving test 4 times. And we prayed and she passed it. God's able to do anything. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning for your word of truth. Lord, I pray you'll bless every single person in this room. Bless your word to all of our hearts. Have your way in all of our lives. Keep us in the truth. For we know the truth will make us free. Touch every heart, every life in this room. And bless our brother Gary as he comes tonight and shares the word of God. And bless the meeting tonight. And for the meetings that lay ahead this week, we commit them all to you and pray for your blessing on each one. And bless our brethren as they travel this way. Keep them safe and watch over them. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. God bless each one. We're back tonight, 6 o'clock. Our brother Gary's going to be preaching. And the Lord bless each one. God bless each one.
Amen. Praise God. Now we can sing that hymn, One of Them. Praise God. You know, it's wonderful. I think one of the most striking things that Foster said this morning actually was, you know, there are some people think they don't need to be baptized. And I think some people have a phobia of the water, believe it or not. I know this woman, and she has a phobia of the water, and she's afraid to go into the water. She doesn't like water coming over her head. She panics. But you know, whenever you say, as Tommy said there this morning, you say you don't need to be baptized, you're actually saying we don't need to fulfill all righteousness. You're actually saying something that's contrary to the word of God. And sometimes, you know, we have to move out of our comfort zone to obey God. You know, Jesus was very uncomfortable when he hung naked on the cross. You know, they stripped the Lord Jesus off completely naked to put to an open shame. And he had to do something. You know, it's not, he never asks us something to do that we can't do. Baptism isn't something that you can't do. You know, it's not very much to ask. You know, that scripture in Acts 2:38 is very remarkable because it says, repent and be baptized. Every one of you. Every one of you. That's what the Bible says. That's God's word. Every one of you. Now, if we were saying about salvation, that whosoever is for whosoever and includes everyone and excludes no one. Well, it's the same for baptism. If you repent then the next stage is baptism. That's the word of God. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you. Not some of you. The Bible says God's word is, what God says is every one of you. And I would encourage you this morning, if you've not been baptized in that name, because listen to what it says. It said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, I just encourage you, the pastor's already said it this morning, but it's God's word. It's not our word. It's not my word. It's not the pastor's word. It's God's word. Praise God. And we want to just obey God. And as Tommy said this morning, it's a wonderful scripture that the Holy Ghost is given to them that obey him. You know, it's just, I recently downloaded the Bible app on my phone and I was just listening. I like the book of Samuel in the Old Testament, you know, and, you know, some tragic things happened there, but, you know, whenever Samuel came to Saul and He offered up the sacrifices of animals that he should have killed and slain totally. He said, no, I kept them back and we sacrificed the best ones to the Lord. And he said, you know, to obey, obedience is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. God wants you to listen to what he's saying. And after that you've listened, he wants you to obey it. And that's better than all the sacrifices you can do. That's better than all the holy living you think you can do. But to obey, to listen and to obey, that's what God, that pleases God. That's what will please the Lord. So I just wanted to encourage the pastors more than half said I do once there, but just to encourage them, I believe it's the word of the Lord this morning, that it's in keeping with God's word. And I believe you'll be blessed if you obey it. Let us sing this. There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with the fire that fell at Pentecost, which cleansed and made them clean. Lord, thanks. There are people.